We gather again this morning with more candles on our font to represent another mass shooting and more lives lost. And can I just say I'm really, really tired of putting out candles on our font to represent another mass shooting. I'm exhausted of lighting more candles or attending more vigils to remember those who were slain. And our country has a problem we need to face. On our 311th day of 2018, we had our 307th mass shooting. Let that sink in. In 311 days, we had 307 mass shootings. A mass shooting is characterized as incidents that result in four or more people being shot or killed. These 307 mass shootings happened just in the U.S., and honestly, I feel like I'm becoming desensitized to all of these mass shootings. I'm becoming numb. I get another notification on my phone that a mass shooting has happened, and I instantly go to how many died to rate the severity of the mass shooting. Thinking to myself, oh, well, it was only 12 this time. What have we become as a nation? And what is our role as a church in all of this? We listen to the news or read articles about another gunman with a troubled past who has a name and a story, and yet the 12 just remain a number, with little to tell about their story until many, many days later. Just a number to add to the 328 other people who have died in the U.S. this year due to mass shootings. I know I need to tread lightly when discussing topics such as mass shootings, but there are also times when we need to simply unmask the grievous sin of this country and talk about it as a church. We can no longer keep these issues at an arm's length. Our society, our nation, and our system tramples the vulnerable. It doesn't ascribe a name or a story to the 12, but only to the gunmen. It doesn't change laws when we have 307 mass shootings and 311 days. We trample the vulnerable, the least among us, the unseen and unnoticed. The woman in our gospel story this morning was also just a number. She doesn't have a name or a story, but she's just a number, two small coins, just a widow. She once had a life and a story and a name and a family, but now she is the most vulnerable and remains nameless and a number, just like those 12 slain in California, or the 58 in Las Vegas, or the 17 in Florida, or the 11 in the synagogue, and we could keep adding to that. There are so many other vulnerable that just become a number without a name or story. Those who are simply a number waiting in the Seattle housing database. Those who are simply a number sitting in a jail cell. Those who are simply a number traveling in the migrant caravan. Those who are simply a number in the foster care system. All of these numbers with no name and no story. The most vulnerable among us, and we reduce them to numbers and titles about their struggles. Widow, inmate, victim, homeless, illegal, worthless, poor. Our system reduces them to numbers, to people without names, to less than human. Our system strips their humanity and their story, and I'm sad to say this is nothing new. Let's look back at the widow with two small coins. We are told that is literally all she has. She doesn't save those two small coins for herself, but rather puts them in the collection box at the synagogue. Now, we might find this foolish that she would give all of this over to the temple, but she had a reason, because she has a story. This collection box at the temple was used as the temple treasury system. And the temple treasury system was intended to be used to give back to the widow, the poor, the most vulnerable in society. those who go unseen without a name. So this widow was giving over all she had in the hopes that the temple treasury system would function as it should and give back to those who are like her, those who cannot care for themselves. Now, it is important to know that she is a widow, because all means of ascribing worth and relationship in that time and to create a living wage depended on men. From her title of widow, we learn that she does not have a spouse to create an income for her, and her family, she must not have any sons who could then carry on the duty that her spouse was supposed to. This created an instant reality of poverty for this widow, but she should not have to fear her widow status because of the temple treasury system. It was put into place just so folks like her could live on the good graces of the community. Except those in charge of the temple treasury system are exactly who Jesus warns about in the beginning of the gospel. The religious scholars who wear long robes and are focused on prestige and power rather than the most vulnerable within their care. These religious scholars have corrupted the temple treasury system. They are rich religious scholars, and they're getting richer on the backs of the poor through the temple treasury system. These religious scholars are taking the widow's two small coins and adding it to their profit, rather than distributing the funds as they should. And Jesus is watching all of this happen, and he doesn't say a word. Jesus knows exactly what's happening, watching from the sideline. He watches the widow put in her two small coins with hope in her eyes that she might receive a living wage in return. Jesus watches the religious scholars prance around in their long robes, saying their long prayers, and he just watches from the sidelines. Jesus doesn't address the woman with no name. Jesus doesn't call out the religious scholars. He just walks away. I wonder if Jesus was experiencing compassion fatigue. This is another story that we need to face and discuss the humanity of Jesus. The possibility that Jesus had reached his limit for compassion, or his limit for preaching against the greed and corruption of the current system. Leading up to this story, Jesus has his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He has cleansed the temple, and now he witnesses this heartbreaking interaction with the widow in the temple treasury system. Jesus knows that his death is coming very soon. Jesus knows the risk he took speaking out against the current powers. Jesus knows that he risked his life speaking out for people just like this widow. And yet in this moment, he walks away. Now, I can't blame Jesus for walking away. I want to walk away from hearing about another mass shooting. I want to walk away from encountering the homeless crisis here in Seattle. I want to walk away from all of the tragedies that our current system creates. Maybe I, like Jesus, am experiencing some compassion fatigue. And maybe you are there too, not knowing where to turn, not wanting to hear another word about the corruption in our world, not wanting to wake up to the news of another mass shooting. I'm there with you. But church, we won't stay in this place. When Jesus walked away from watching the situation with the temple treasury system, he walked directly to his disciples and told them that this current system was going to fall. Out of his anger or his compassion fatigue or whatever Jesus was feeling, he was prophetic. He assured the disciples that the beautifully ordained temples that they were all amazed by would not remain, that the corruption of the religious scholars would not remain. Jesus knows what it feels like to be reduced to a number. As he hangs on the cross, he becomes just a number, a criminal, a traitor. Jesus is added to the list of all others who have been crucified. But the difference is, Jesus doesn't stay dead. He rises and says, "You all are more than just a number. You all have a story and a name and a place. Your name is Beloved Child of God. Your story is one of redemption and love. You are made in the image of God, and you have a place here. Jesus restores people to their stories, with their names and their humanity, beyond numbers and labels. While Jesus did foretell the destruction of the temple and called out the corruption of the religious scholars, we know the kingdom he tells us is coming is not one of earthly matter. But each Sunday we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." We are praying, pleading for that beautiful kingdom to take place here on earth. And we get to be the ones that work with the divine to make that a reality. We get to notice the unnoticed, give names to those who are nameless, give voice to those who are voiceless, put an end to corrupt system and leaders. We get to and are called to do all of that and much more, because our God would not stay dead or be reduced to a number. So let us take a simple start in giving name to the nameless and listen to the names of those 12 lives lost in California. Tel Orfanzo, Beloved Child of God. Daniel Manrique, Beloved Child of God. Justin Meek, Beloved Child of God. Elena Housley, Beloved Child of God. Cody Gifford Kaufman, Beloved Child of God. Noelle Sparks, Beloved Child of God. Christina Morissette, Beloved Child of God. Sean Adler, Beloved Child of God. Jacob Dunham, Beloved Child of God. Blake Dingman, Beloved Child of God. Mark Meza, Beloved Child of God. Ron Hulis, Beloved Child of God. May you all know that you are also beloved children of God, with a name, a story, and a place. And let the church say, Amen.